Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen. Human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slaps a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Darnold escapes, trying to buy himself some time. Fires end zone. It's caught. Incredible play by Darnold.
Hill hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know that's
the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to break down the numbers here on this Christmas Day, nerdy numbers style with the man who does that over at JetsXFactor.com, where he's the resident stat geek and the co-founder, Mr. Michael Nania. Michael, Merry Christmas, sir, but not as merry a Christmas as it will be for Bryce Hall, who had his very first interception of his NFL career this past Sunday.
Yeah, Bryce Hall did have a very good game here against the Rams. And, you know, even though this was a tough game to watch for many reasons, with, you know, the implications involved, there were some very positive performances from a lot of young players, which is a nice silver lining. At least if you're going to win games at this point, you would like to do it with young players leading the way. And for the most part, the Jets didn't have a lot of young players driving this win. And Bryce Hall was one of them. He only allowed 13 yards on four targets, only one first down, had the great interception, one-handed pick off of Jared Goff, and he had one of the best PFF grades among all cornerbacks in Week 15, 87.7. That was top 10 at the position this week, so really promising performance from him among quite a few good performances from young players in this game.
Speaking of good performances from young players, Javelin Guidry, somebody that, as I pointed out, your co-founder over at JetsXFactor.com, Robbie Sabo, really liked in training camp, stepped up and had himself another solid game.
Yeah, Guidry is another young cornerback playing really well. This is only his third start for the Jets, or at least third game playing extended time. And he continues to stay really quiet in the slot. He only gave up 29 yards, zero first downs on five targets in this game against the Rams, playing almost every snap on defense. Actually did play every single snap, covered on 39 snaps, did blitz once, but he's doing really well. And he's not necessarily standing out or making big plays, but for the most part, that's what you want out of your cornerback. So for an undrafted rookie, he's doing great right now. He has the highest overall or highest coverage grade among rookie cornerbacks this season so far. So he is definitely impressing. It's extremely early, but you have to like what you've seen from him so far.
And you'd have to like what you've seen from Marcus May since he's moved back to the free safety position, right?
Yeah, Marcus May, too, has obviously had a very nice season. It started off pretty rough when he was playing in the box, trying to replace Jamal Adams, missed a lot of tackles, gave up a couple touchdowns, especially in that game against Jordan Reed and the Niners. But since he moved back to free safety, he's really taken off. He's tied for third in passes defended among safeties this season with 11 of those. He only gave up 5 yards per target since moving back to free safety. In this game, actually, against the Rams, he did move sort of back into that box role, and the Jets put Arthur Millett at safety with Matthias Farley playing so badly against the Seahawks. They benched him late in that game, put Millett at free safety, moved Marcus May back down. So he was playing that role here against the Rams. Obviously made a great pass deflection at the end of the game that cost the Jets Trevor Lawrence, but we'll overlook that part of it. So he played pretty well for the most part, aside from the ramifications of that. But his overall Pro Football Focus grade this season, third best among safeties at 81.1. Only John Johnson of the Rams and Jesse Bates of the Bengals are ahead of him. So he's had a nice season for sure. I do think that might overrate him a little bit to say he's the third best safety in the league, because there have been quite a few plays this season where he was beaten for a touchdown but was lucky the ball didn't come his way. And so I don't think those were accounted for in the grades, but he's been very good. I think he's definitely a top 10 free safety, and his playmaking this season in coverage has been really good. When the ball's come his way, he's made a lot of great plays on the ball. So been a good season for him, and you know, I definitely think the Jets should look into extending him, and if they can't come to that agreement, they do have the ability to franchise tag him. So Marcus May, definitely one of the most consistent bright spots this year.
Marcus May, certainly one of the best players on the Jets defense this season, but he wasn't the best player. That title goes to a young man by the name of Quinnen Williams, who unfortunately got hurt in this game. And if you've been hurt due to someone else's negligence, you know it can be a life-changing event. When that happens, you want a strong legal team fighting for you to make sure you receive full compensation for your injuries. You want to be able to call your legal team whenever you want. You don't want your file to be on a shelf with hundreds of others, and you don't want your lawyers to be afraid to go to court. Here's what you do want. The legal team at Faruqi and Faruqi. They give every client their personal cell phone number to call 24/7. They limit the number of clients they represent at one time. And they've got a long track record of taking on insurance companies, corporations, and the government in court. Best part is, they've also got a long track record of winning. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome. Learn more about them at nylegalteam.com. That's nylegalteam.com. And Michael Ezo is saying the best player on this defense has been Quinnen Williams. Absolutely elite against the run and the pass. And he continued to do that against the Rams until he got hurt in the fourth quarter. The rest of the interior defensive line did really well, and they continue to be the strength of the team. John Franklin Myers had a ton of pressures once again. He's been one of the best in the league. If you factor in how many snaps he actually gets, his pressure rate has been outstanding. And then Nathan Shepard, who'd been very quiet most of the season, hadn't done much, made the most of some extra playing time with Foley Fadakasi being out. He got himself a hit and a sack. So big day for the interior defensive line. And I would argue that if not for their performance, Jared Goff would have had much cleaner pockets all day. And who knows, the Rams might have been able to do a lot more damage on offense.
Yeah, this was definitely probably the biggest story of the game. I mean, the Rams were terrible in a lot of areas where they're usually sharp, but this was definitely the spot where the Jets kind of took control of this game. It was that interior D-line just giving Jared Goff no chance, and Goff is still terrible regardless of the pressure, but this is a good Rams offensive line. They've been near the top in the fewest pressures allowed all season. They were third best in terms of pressure rate entering this game, but the Jets interior D-line came out and destroyed them. Quinnen Williams had a great sack in this game, a couple more one other pressure, but he also attracted a lot of attention in this game that made it easier for the guys around him, specifically Nathan Shepard and John Franklin Myers, to get their wins as pass rushers. For Frankie Louvu, Terrell Basham, they had some pressures coming in on stunts, and a lot of it had to do with the attention on Quinnen Williams. So had the great sack, had three stops in the run game. He was everywhere, as he usually is. He's a top five defensive tackle, pretty much without a question at this point. And I do think it is a legitimate snub that he wasn't in the Pro Bowl. So he's had a fantastic season. He's the best player on this team by far and a tremendous building block going forward. But Franklin Myers just continues to be so impressive. He's probably the most consistent player on this team this season, because every single game he just comes out and puts up pressure at a good rate. That's what he's here to do. He's here to shoot gaps, rush aggressively, even if he compromises a little bit in the run game because of his lack of size and how aggressively he shoots gaps. It's more than worth it for how productive he is as a pass rusher. Five pressures in this game to lead the team. He's the second best pressure rate on the season among interior D linemen behind only Aaron Donald. He's at 17.2%, which is fantastic, more than double the average for the position, which is usually around 7%. So he has been fantastic. And Nathan Shepard in this game has done pretty much nothing this season, but got an opportunity with Foley Fadakasi out, season-high 38 snaps, had a sack, quarterback hit, tackle for loss in the run game. Very active performance from him. It's been a disappointing season for Shepard, for sure. I thought after he finished last season strong, was very good as a pass rusher, put up pressures at a pretty good rate, thought he's going to have a good season. That hasn't happened. He's been extremely quiet, probably one of the worst defensive tackles in the league. He hasn't played a ton, so hasn't made a big impact. But when he's been out there, he's done very little. But in this game, he did definitely showed up for this one. But those three guys on the interior really caused a ton of problems in this game against a Rams offensive line that is typically pretty good. So it was really odd to watch. There are a lot of things that happened in this game that allowed the Jets to overcome being 17 point underdogs to win. But this is probably the biggest one.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
The interior defensive line was once again a strength, but the outside pass rush, the edge rushers, once again a weakness. And one of the biggest culprits, unfortunately, Jabari Zuniga, the Jets' third-round pick out of the University of Florida. You took an in-depth look at what's been going on with him, and what you turned up isn't good.
Yeah, looking at Zuniga and what he's done to this point, the story really is he hasn't gotten much playing time in this game. He only played 6 snaps against the Rams. That was a season low. Before that, he was averaging about 14. But he's pretty much done nothing with the time that he's got. In the run game, the stuffs haven't been there, and he's been really blown off the ball quite a bit, not created a lot of penetration. And then in the passing game, he only has 1 pressure this season. So he's done very little in both phases. Still early, hasn't even hit 100 defensive snaps yet. He's played 90 to this point, which is a little more than a game's worth, maybe 2 games if you're looking at just how much one individual starter would play. So not a ton of playing time, but as really yet, there really isn't a single, even one rep you could put out there and look at it and be excited about what he could offer. There was one play he made against the Patriots, a nice run stop in which he got towards the sideline, got past the block of the right tackle, the second level, made a good stop in space. That was probably his best play. Other than that, there's just very little to look at to be excited about with Zuniga. So it's early, but there's really nothing there to be excited about with him to this point.
Let's talk a little offense, Michael. And one guy that had his best performance of the season was Sam Darnold. Wouldn't say it was an outstanding game, but at least it was a step in the right direction. You didn't see the type of backbreaking mistakes that you'd seen from him in pretty much every other game this year. So that's certainly something positive we can take from this game.
Yeah, Sam Darnold did have a pretty good game in this one, probably his best of the season. I haven't gotten to grading it personally. I'm going to do that later. But in terms of the advanced numbers, his QBR in this one, 88.5, that's a season best and 7th best in the NFL. In week 15, his Pro Football Focus grade, an 80, that is his best of the season and 9th best in week 15. So it was a pretty good performance. But I mean, still, this was by far his best performance by those two metrics, and it still wasn't even top 5 in the week. So he played good, and if this was his baseline throughout the season, he'd be great. And if he had multiple of these games this season, there would be a lot to go off of to feel confident about him. That's what he did the last two seasons. He had a solid 3 to 4 of these caliber of games in his first couple seasons, maybe probably about 5 of these games in each of his first two seasons. This is his first legitimately good game of the season, probably. So it's definitely, I think, a case of too little, too late. I mean, we'll see if he can have 2 more amazing games, if he can make it a tough decision for the Jets at number 2. But for me, I think this is a case of too little, too late. You can't overreact to the way a guy finishes the season, because momentum just doesn't carry over. The first game has just as much to do. In terms of looking at the future, I think the first game has just as much to do with the last game. It's not like what happens in December carries over to the next September. We've seen that much with the Jets and their momentum at the end of last season and how that's carried into 2020. So it's, for the most part, he's been very bad this season. He played good in this Rams game for sure, and he has two more chances to put some more good play on tape, but I still think this is, he definitely hasn't shown enough this season to prompt the Jets to pass on a quarterback, even at the second overall pick. But, you know, for his sake, for the sake of the Jets and his value in the trade market, this was a good performance from him. And if he had played like this more frequently throughout the season, then maybe the Jets would feel okay with keeping him on board if they couldn't land Trevor Lawrence. But at this point, this is a little bit too late. And even though this performance was good, it still wasn't amazing by any stretch. So it definitely isn't enough to, I think, move the needle of what he's shown this season, which is being one of the worst starters in the league and very, very much regressing from the very much promise that he showed over his first two seasons. Definitely hasn't been there as much. So he did play good in this Rams game, but again, in my opinion, I think it's too little too late for him in terms of the Jets keeping him going to next season, even if they fall to the second pick.
Michael, the offensive line in this game, this is the basic story. The tackles, pretty good. The interior, not so good.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I mean, in the run game, I do think everyone kind of struggled a little bit. There wasn't much to really look at in that phase. I mean, Frank Gore averaged, and this is kind of his fault because Frank Gore isn't good anymore, but 2.6 yards per carry on 23 attempts. His longest run was 8 yards. So there wasn't much on the ground. But in the passing game, Mekhi Becton, George Fant, both allowing zero pressures. Great job by those two guys. The Rams don't have much of an edge rush, but still, it doesn't matter who you're playing. If you allow no pressures, that's a great job. But the interior, going up against Aaron Donald, that was as much of a mismatch as you would expect. Josh Andrews, 7 pressures. Pat Elflein, 6. And Connor McGovern, 3. And for a center, 3 is pretty bad. Centers are typically tagged with by far the fewest pressures. For example, McGovern last season averaged less than 1 per game, and that was 10th best at the position, allowing less than 1 per game. So 3 pressures for him, that's bad. And then the guards combining to allow 13 pressures, just atrocious. Even against Aaron Donald, he tied his season high with 10 pressures, which is actually tied Franklin Myers, his game against the Raiders, for the most by an interior D lineman this season. So the Jets guard duo is very bad. These two guys are, if you're trying to tank, you can hardly start anyone better than those two guys. But Connor McGovern just continues in pass protection to allow so much more pressure than he was last season. In the run game, I think he's been pleasantly surprising. He's been very good there throughout the season, and his one-on-one protection is usually pretty good, except when you're playing Aaron Donald. But in terms of blitz pickup stunts, things like that, it's been odd to watch his decline this season, and he's been at the top of the list in terms of pressures allowed throughout the season. So maybe the Jets move him to guard next season, where there isn't as much mental responsibility on his plate and his physicality, just his tools physically can shine. That could be on the table, but it's been a really interesting sort of roller coaster season for McGovern. A lot of stuff to really like, and for the most part, he's improved in the latter half of the season, but the pressure totals are really high. There are a lot of really bad protection reps on tape in terms of pickups that he's just blatantly missing. So it's been an interesting season for McGovern. It will definitely be a big decision what the Jets do with him next season, not in terms of whether he starts, because he is going to start. They can't really move on from him based on his contract, and he does have enough talent to be a starter in this team. But whether or not they keep him at center or move him to guard, I do think that is going to be a legitimate conversation that they have.
Let's talk about the wide receivers and the running backs here, Michael. Frank Gore, 23 carries, 59 yards, but of course made a couple of key plays in this game. Ty Johnson didn't get a lot of touches, but made the most of them, including a touchdown on a screen pass. And then you had the wide receivers. Not a lot going on with Denzel Mims and Breshad Perriman, but another nice day for Jamison Crowder. He was the main target here for Sam Darnold. And even a decent day for Chris Herndon. I would say this is probably his best game of the season.
Yeah, Chris Herndon with 3 catches in this one on 4 targets, 48 yards. So for him, that does probably qualify as his best of the season, which I think we are hoping he would average those numbers this season. Not that it would be his best game by far, but it has been that kind of season. And all three of those catches were first down, so they were productive. Jameson Crowder had a solid game, 6 catches, 7 targets, 66 yards, 3 first downs. Ty Johnson, like you said, made the most of his opportunities, caught 6 of 6, 39 yards, touchdown, couple first downs. It's just really curious how Gase refuses to use these other running backs instead of Gore, who's just not good at this point of his career. And you see it when guys like Johnson go out there and thoroughly outperform him. But, you know, whatever works. Adam Gase is the head coach. I think he knows what he's doing. The record speaks for itself. So it's interesting how they use the running backs. But at the receiver position, they're kind of quiet in this game on the outside. Perriman only was targeted once. That was a 21-yard catch. And Mims, 3 of 3 for 18 yards, no first downs. This was his quietest game. So I think the biggest thing for the skill positions going forward is you want to see as much as you can from Mims. The rest of these guys are, other than Crowder, who I think we know at this point is just a very good slot receiver, great piece to have. But the rest of these guys, the Jets will probably be looking for upgrades. Mims is going to be around. So as much as you can see from him is a positive for them going forward.
Michael Nania bringing us the stats here on this Christmas Day. As always, really appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this with me, breaking down these numbers like you do every single day over at JetsXFactor.com. And it may be Christmas season. We may be headed for New Year's, but the content doesn't stop. It doesn't stop here on Play Like a Jet, and it certainly doesn't stop over at JetsXFactor.com. So when people sign up over there, what are they going to see this week?
Yeah, still plenty of the same great stuff. I mean, a lot of, for me at least, trying to keep it as optimistic as possible with a lot of the young players who are playing really well for this team and still give a lot of hope going forward. But we do have one really cool thing that we're putting together that we should have ready early in the off season that I think a lot of fans are going to like and be coming back to quite frequently on a regular basis. So not going to reveal what that is yet, but keep an eye out for that. It's definitely going to be really cool. Once we do come out with it, you'll definitely see it. And I think you'll be using it a lot. So not going to reveal it yet, but I'm excited for it. So keep an eye out for that.
Make sure that you're following Michael on Twitter @Michael_Nania and reading his work over at JetsXFactor.com. If you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and TurnOnTheJets.com.